My name is Pastor Janet Wilson. I'm the associate pastor here. And along with Chad, I thank you for joining us this evening. Please pray with me. Lord, as we set our feet into this Ash Wednesday, into this season of Lent, of reflection and repentance, perhaps of sacrifice, perhaps of picking up something in your name, may we feel your hand and your breath and your peace in every step. May we allow ourselves to be challenged and to be renewed as we journey forward together. May this time together this evening set our feet on the path in love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. We began our time together this evening with an invitation to the observance of Lent. And your presence here tonight answers God's invitation to consider this time of special observance of Ash Wednesday. And in my reflection tonight, I have several more invitations to extend to you. The first is definitely the simplest. We have copies of a Lenten devotional called Living the Gospel Life available for every family who is here tonight in this season. So you're invited to pick your copy up on your way out this evening and use it as part of your daily prayer practice as we travel together toward Easter morning. May it be a blessing to us all. Invitation number two. In the main hallway on this level of the church are 14 paintings that represent the Stations of the Cross. These were created by Shona Shimbira, a recent seminary graduate, a hospital chaplain, a woman considering her call to ministry. Shona was a member of a ministry candidacy group that Chad co-mentored last year. He was both very impressed by Shona herself and deeply impacted by these paintings when she brought them to a candidacy gathering. The seeds of this exhibit and of our Lenten series were planted over a year ago, and the rest has come together in God's appointed time and God's way. You may have experienced the Stations of the Cross here or elsewhere in the past. You may well find this version based on Shona's unique perspective on race in America challenging, maybe uncomfortably challenging. Our invitation and our hope is that you spend some time with them in prayer and reflection in the 40 days ahead. Invitation number three. Our Lenten message series, which was born out of this art and really born out of God's unfolding plan for this congregation, is entitled Thy Kingdom Come, a phrase that we pray each time we speak the Lord's Prayer. In our Lenten series, as Chad said, we'll be engaging social justice, defined as the way in which human rights are manifested in the everyday lives of people at every level of society. In this series, we'll walk together through an exploration of justice and injustice around issues of race, economics, the environment, global migration and American immigration, and the abuse of women, children, and the vulnerable. This is going to be a challenging series. It's a challenging one to build, to preach, to hear, to engage. In my almost 20 years in this congregation, we have never talked about some of these issues, but it is God's time for us to do that. And friends, we've been spending quite a bit of time this year learning how to live unafraid. Remember those words? with courage, with hope, and with trust. We are called to be a part of the world in which we live and to respond to bring God's kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Isaiah's words and the words of Christ to love our neighbor as ourselves still ring out loudly in this time, in this place, to God's people. So we are all invited to gather our bravery, our courage, and our hope, and to make this journey together. And this series will begin this Sunday, led off by our artist, Shona. Along with sharing her incredible artwork, she will be blessing us as she shares her life experience growing up in both Zimbabwe in Africa and in the United Kingdom as a biracial woman with a parent from each place, as an immigrant to the United States, and as the mother of biracial American citizens. Her perspective and her voice will be an incredible gift for us as we begin this journey talking about racial justice. Invitation number 4. I invite you to not only engage your mind, your heart, and your spirit in this series, and I think it will do all of those things for all of us, but to engage your holy imagination with this question. What if your life had started another way? I was born on August 15th, 1959, in Battle Creek, Michigan, to Carl and Janet Detweiler. A white, middle-class family in a mid-sized town in a time of American prosperity. But I've often wondered, what if my life did not begin this way? Chad and I often talk in funeral services about how our lives begin with God's breath, creating the essence of our life in this body, and of that created breath returning to God in our final moment of this body. What if my created breath had not met this body in this place, in this time, for this journey? Can imagining another life, another body, another place, another journey help me to understand the lives of others in a new way? I recently heard a metaphor about this unpacked in a TED Talk by Canadian broadcaster Mark Sutcliffe, and that talk helped to engage my imagination and expand the basis of understanding of privilege and inequity in a new way to me. I'm going to borrow his work this morning. Mark uses the example of a marathon running race, something that he has done a lot of and I have done none of. But if you've ever seen photographs of something like the Boston Marathon or the New York Marathon, and most of us have, there is a starting line with the most elite of runners who've been invited and qualified for the race. And then there is a sea of tens of thousands of people, 35,000 plus in Boston, 58,000 plus in New York, on the other side of that starting line. The gun goes off and everyone begins, but not everyone in this same race starts at the same place. And this TED Talk was speaking about the place of luck. Maybe we would call it circumstances of birth. Maybe we would call it blessing in the marathon journey of a human life. If we even look at the very basic definitions of a well-lived, healthy life, food and water security, adequate shelter and clothing, people to love, work to do, basic health and wellness, and access to health care, we certainly don't all start at that line. If you were born in a developing nation, you started farther back. If you are a visible minority of your nation, you started farther back. If your parents are poor by that nation's standards, you started farther back. If you are born with a disability or develop a physical or mental illness early in your life, you start farther back or quickly fall behind. If your country is embroiled in conflict or corruption, you start farther back. In many parts of the world, if you are a girl, you start farther back. So you start the race, this journey of life, wherever all of that places of you in relation to that starting line. And you can be smart, beautiful, talented, gifted, and incredibly hardworking, but you still begin it far behind the majority of the pack. Catching up can be a near impossible feat. This is one of the best representations and explanations of privilege in the place of systemic injustice that I have heard. In the marathon of life, I really began at the starting line or close to it. There were certainly many who started with more wealth, privilege, and advantage, but I was close enough that hard work and innate gifts could put me in the race. Where do you feel in relationship to that starting line? As we begin this series, as we encounter some descriptions of injustice in the world, you are invited to continue to imagine yourself born in another circumstance, beginning the race and the journey of life from a different place in relation to that starting line. And we can begin to imagine together that no matter where we began and where we are now, how we can extend our hands, our hearts, our gifts, our prayer, and our lives to gather all of those who start behind us to bring God's kingdom to earth for all. I was reading Bishop Bard's blog reflection for today, and he said this, and I thought it fit in with where we were talking, with what I was talking about. Lent is a time to acknowledge grief, loss, sadness, brokenness, woundedness, and limits, but not for the sake of wallowing in them. God's Spirit invites us into Lent so the Spirit can do the work of expanding our hearts, enlivening our minds, enlarging the capacity of our souls. I invite us to stay with some of the difficult feelings of Lent, as uncomfortable as that may be, trusting that God's Spirit is at work within us. The closing part of that passage in Isaiah says, "Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer, 'Yes, I am here.' He will quickly reply." So many invitations on this evening. And we arrive back at the beginning with an invitation to observe a holy Lent with self-examination and repentance, with prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. To mark this invitation, Chad and I will extend two more, or to mark this beginning, Chad and I will extend two more invitations. To receive ashes and the sign of the cross on your forehead tonight, a sign of that observation of Lent, and to receive Holy Communion, a sacrament of grace and mystery, and a reminder of God's love for us expressed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.